What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, Mega listeners? You have two more chances to see Mega Live, the awesome pod tour. We're going to be in Nashville at Third Coast Comedy on October 14th and New York City at Caveat on November 12th. Tickets are extremely limited and these shows have been a blast. So head to mega.com or the link in the show notes right now.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we give our mega church a tiny family feel, introducing you to members of our church staff and people from our community. And you know I always believe it's a trait, and I always think it's a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. And today, together, we're bringing something very special and new to you. We're introducing a new format on Mega called Doing Life together.
Sorry, I was a bit late on that, Hallie.
Sorry, Gray. Yeah. Do you want me to do it again? It is our first time and everything.
Let's try it.
We're trying a new format, a Gray and Hallie only, sans guest, and it's called
Doing Life Together.
Oops, sorry, Gray. One more time, maybe if we make eye contact while we do it.
That's okay, Hallie. Anyway, gang for God, how is everyone?
It is so good to be here today. Every day we wake up in God's hands, it's another blessed day, and we are too anointed to be disappointed. Isn't that right?
That is right. Well, this is really exciting because, you know, people like it when sometimes it's just me and you getting into how we're doing life together in the church and with Christ. And this is a great way to just keep people updated on our personal lives and on our walk in a deeper, more meaningful way. So I'm really excited for these episodes with just you and me.
You know, as Pastor Steve, the lead pastor here at Twin Hills Community Church, as he always says, you know what? Most of the gospel can really be boiled down into one truth. Or maybe it's two, if you really think about it. And that is, what's it all about? Love God,
and love people. You know what I mean? And I would say that that is truly the way that people identify Christians in America, especially, is that they know us by our love. You know, we lead with love. We're known for love. You know, anyone, anything, anywhere, they know, where will I be accepted and wholeheartedly welcomed? The Christian church.
That is right. I thought you were going to say, what word can the whole gospel be boiled down to? What would you say?
Oh, definitely love. What would you say, Greg?
Oh, I was going to say hype, or maybe epic.
Ooh, epic is good.
Totally.
You know, it's that's a fun thought experiment. You know, you could boil it down to the word blood, because without the blood of Jesus, none of us would be redeemed and going to heaven, and everything would just be going to hell in a handbasket.
That's right. Or maybe legit.
Oh, death, that's a good one.
Death legit is something my teens in Climax would say.
Atonement might be a good one. And I heard the coolest Rob Bell thing one time when he was talking about atonement back when he was a vocal Christian.
Right.
Now he seems to be either a quiet Christian or a too cool for school Christian.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go so far as to say a non-Christian, because that just doesn't make any sense.
Well, when he cut his bangs, I realized there was something going on there. Now he's just kind of sneaking around. I feel like he's a bit sneaky. He's kind of a sneaky, touchy-feely type of Christian, and I use that in quotes with a lowercase c.
But back when he was a very vocal Christian and, you know, church goer, church planter, church
yes.
leader, church pastor, he visited Twin Hills, as we would have him do maybe once or twice a year. We also used to have the, what was the homeless guy's name who had like a real progressive form of Christianity?
Oh.
Shane Claiborne. He had the tattoos, the dreads in his hair, seemed kind of stinky and talking about, you know, God's love for homeless or poor people, urban people, some such.
Yeah. I always think of Pigpen from Charlie Brown.
That's right.
He kind of looked like that.
That's good. That's a really good one. But, you know, Shane Claiborne had a lot to say about the fact that Jesus seemed to have a lot to say about, you know, wealth being the number one thing that can drag you to hell. It's
right.
easier for a rich man to get into the eye of a needle, or a camel to get into the eye of a needle, than a rich man getting into heaven, which became one of the less popular quotes from the gospel, because truly, I think the way Jesus prefers fiscal responsibility in a modern day America is that he's a big fan of capitalism.
Yeah, Jesus saves and saves his money. You know, I always thought it was a bit controversial too with the whole Shane Claiborne thing, because, you know, easy for him to say, because did you know that I think his mom or his grandmom was Liz Claiborne?
Is that right? I used to wear her fragrance.
Really? So,
Liz,
you know,
Claiborne.
It's easy when you've got a bunch of money in your daddy's bank account.
Yeah. Ooh, she has some good product.
And
lines
in this case,
Macy,
your mom's
too.
Bank account. I guess, you know, probably still the dad had it in his bank account.
But back to Rob Bell, the questionable Christian, I guess we'll call him.
Yeah.
He, when he was more of a vocal Christian, which I do prefer, clearly, he said the coolest thing. He did a message at Twin Hills about atonement. I'm back to the thing of if we could boil down the gospel to one word, because
oh,
I think it's a fun thought
okay,
experiment.
Yeah. I had moved on, but
Rob Bell said atonement can be broken down. If you look at the words atonement, it can be broken down to at. Do you think?
Oh,
atonement at one minute.
One minute.
At one minute.
At one minute.
Isn't that so cool?
Amazing that he could think of that. What an amazing idea. At one minute.
When Jesus hung on that cross, bleeding and dying, and the life slowly leaving his body while he hung there crucified by the Italian government, because it was. Did you know that, Gray, that was capital punishment back then to the Italians?
Oh, yeah. Well, you mean the Romans?
Well, same thing, right?
I guess so.
Which is so hard to think that Italians killed Jesus, because Dang it, can they make a pasta and a pizza? And it is my favorite food. And for the first time in my life, I'm wondering if hitting these breadsticks and antipasti salads and rigatonis and mostaccioles is not God-honoring, because they're the ones who really crucified our Lord. Anyway, I thought it was very cool. Rob Bell said that because of the atonement on the cross, we can be at one. We can be in a state of at-one-ment with Jesus.
How does he think of that? I mean, that's the kind of cutting edge thinking that I think people come to, you know, but come to Twin Hills for, is that someone could take a word like atonement and come up with at one min. I mean, it's like literally genius.
When I look at it,
I sometimes think at one me, at one me NT, at one me New Testament. So I'm thinking like at, you know, like on Twitter, you at somebody, at one me New Testament. Like, you know what I mean?
Or a ton eminent. Like heaven is eminent.
Eminent.
And that's going to be a ton of fun.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I'll tell you what, Gray, I'm having a ton of fun with our very first ever installment of
Doing
Life Together, which is
that.
A phrase that, you know, can pretty much distill the whole Christian experience. It's kind of like a Christian motto. We're doing life together.
Well, I love when Jesus said that, you know, or if he didn't specifically say that, I think he probably sat around with the disciples, with the apostles, and just said, hey, guys, we're doing life together. And, you know, that could end up being great at, you know, or it could end up, you know, with me on the cross and, you know, some darkness there. But I also think that everybody was down for it. We're down for the good times and the bad when we're doing life together, aren't we, Hallie, as Christians?
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like Jesus was such a good example of how, you know, sometimes it's sitting around lounging after a good meal with your best buds, and other days you're strung up on a cross. And isn't that just the human experience that God poured himself into?
The highs and the lows, Hallie. And I've had those. I've had some highs and lows this week, I can tell you.
Well, what's happening? Where is God showing up in your life,
Gray? Well, Hallie, as you know, I am dating.
Awesome.
And it was really great. Because, you know, Hallie, you and I were out doing the podcast in Texas this week, which was last week, rather.
Yeah, live on tour. It is so much fun for me to get out of Indy, to get out of my house, frankly, to leave the kids with my husband, Lance Laban.
That's right. And so we were in Austin, and it was really weird, Hallie, because my ex, Jen Hatmaker, showed up to the show. We ended up, you know, including
her.
And, you know, the thing is, Hallie, it was really hard, I think, for her to see me up on stage doing my thing and really captivating a large group of people in a way that was meaningful and impactful in their lives. And so she tried to kind of, you know, I won't say ruin it, but kind of get in there and get a bit of that magic. And I just had to say, you know what, Jen, you can try to do this, but you know, you're really not going to stop. I've just got a lot of momentum right now, and I've got a whole lot of energy, and I've got a lot of people talking about what we're doing. So we invited her up. It was fine. You know, she tried to get a few in on me. I tried to get a few in on her. I kind of imagined it like, I mean, you know, it was almost like a Harry Met Sally thing, Hallie, even though I don't like that movie and I don't think it's got good values. But, you know, we were kind of tit for tit, weren't we?
Yeah.
And And that was fun.
It was awesome. There is a tension between the two of you, and it's quite a balance to try to strike in a relationship, because you do want there to be good tension. That's totally kind of the chemistry. That's the spark. But with you two, it's a tension I can't really put my finger on. It's almost like when you take magnets, and instead of putting them together where they snap into each other's presence, when you turn them the opposite way and you try to push them together, and they're actually just pulling away from each other real
naturally. I don't really know what you're talking about now,
like,
Hallie, but the thing is that was awesome is that, you know, Jen and I have seemed pretty good. I'm really happy in my new relationship. She's apparently got a new relationship, so that's cool. And right from Texas, I flew to LA to go see my new lady friend. I'm very serious about her malady. And it is just, it's been great, Hallie. It's the first time we've actually hung out in person. We've kept it virtual up until this point.
What was it like, Gray, to, be in love with this person from afar that you met online? And how did you meet again? You met on Christian Friend Finder?
Met on Christian Friend Finder. And, you know, she is getting her master's degree right now at Biola, and that's awesome. You know, there is a slight age difference between us. She's 19. And, but she's so smart.
She's
so on
that's
fire
cool.
for Christ. Well, she's getting a master's degree. She finished Christian college in 1 year because you really only had to take 4 classes.
Wow.
And so that was fun. And so she had the weekend off. I took her on. I really planned it out, Hallie.
Awesome.
I really planned it out. So she's really into Disney. And so I had gotten us tickets for Disneyland, and then, you know, it was a bit of a bummer because I saw on Twitter on our way there that, you know, all this woke new stuff about Disney and the new Little Mermaid, and I just said, Melody, I cannot in good faith go to this place that's just systematically ruining the history of all these great movies one by one.
Oh.
And, you know, she loves Disney. She's so into it. She had the whole ears on and everything. And I just said, I can't do this. It just doesn't feel right. God is telling me to turn this car around and go somewhere else. So what we did is I found a Rainforest Cafe and we went there. And I feel like that is almost as good as Disney World or Disneyland.
I love a Rainforest Cafe. Their appetizers are out of this world. I can order every single one.
And I said, you know, you want the rides and stuff. You might not get that, but look at all these fun animals around and these great decorations and great food. And it was way cheap. I'm sure we spent less money.
Yeah, they've got all those animatronic animal heads coming out of the, the highest point of the wall up there
totally.
By the ceiling. There's like vines and stuff. Once in a while, a misty water spray comes on like you're in the produce section at Kroger.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So, you know, she seemed to like that, but we got in a bit of a tiff because it just wasn't, you know, expectation is everything in a relationship, Hallie. You really got to set expectation. And so I think I sort of set up the expectation we were going to Disneyland. And then when I changed that, she was super disappointed. But I said, Melody, what if I had set the expectation that we were going to Rainforest Cafe in the first place?
See?
You'd probably love it.
That's a good one.
And she disagreed. But I think that was maybe not the most fun. But then I said, hey, why don't we go do a quick Bible study? There's a Starbucks over here. She loves her Frappuccinos and things like that. I bought her a Frappuccino. That kind of calmed her down.
That's romantic.
We did a great Bible study because she and I right now are working through the 5 P's. James Dobson's 5 P's of any good Christian relationship.
Awesome. I know them well.
Oh, they're great. You know, you've got patience.
Yep. Purity. Purity and patience kind of go together. You got to wait.
Persistence.
Yes.
And then prayerful play. Prayerful play.
Playfulness.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or prayerful. It basically means careful play. You know, you're playing and you're playful, but you're doing it carefully and prayerfully.
Yeah. Yep. Like a wholesome flirting, no touching.
Right. Yeah, and then, the fifth one I forget. But I think you know, that was great. We just touched in on the P's, reminding our P's and Q's. That's awesome. Dropped her back off at a dorm. I wanted to stay. There was a Ramada, but I went, it wasn't really up to snuff, Hallie. Ramadas have really taken a downturn. So I ended up, I just drove back in, you know, Biola's near Los Angeles. And so I just drove back in, found a great hotel in West Hollywood. I could go to a gym, walk around. It was great.
Oh, cool. What's West Hollywood like?
You know, it is great, Hallie. A lot of friendly people there. A lot of Christians there, I think. And it had a lot of life and vibrancy, and they're every other store was some kind of protein shake place. So I got every shake I've ever dreamed of. It was great.
This is like, this place was made for you, Gray.
I know. And then I picked up Malady for dinner. We had gone to Rainforest Cafe, but I didn't. Then I took her to Fogo de Chão. Do you know that?
Yeah. Wow.
Brazilian steakhouse. I mean, I know I spent a few dollars, but so took her to Fogo de Chão. I didn't know she was vegetarian, apparently.
Why is she vegetarian?
She has a meat allergy.
Is that right?
Yeah, so if she eats meat, she breaks out into terrible hives and sobbing. So not a lot on the menu that she could eat. And I was like, okay, you could have told me this. You know, I was like, talk about expectation. You didn't have any of that in your profile when we started dating. But I took a little... they give you a flipper, you know, that you put it up if you want more meat, you put it down if you want less meat or no meat. So I took a little flipper. I, you know, got all the meat I could eat, and then she had a nice big salad.
Yeah, I was going to say, do they have anything on the menu at Fogo de Chão that isn't meat?
Well, the problem is that even the salad has meat on it. You know, she ate the iceberg lettuce, then started crying and getting kind of bloated. And then I asked the guy, I was like, hey, was there meat on this? And he said, yeah, they do kind of talk about mist. They mist everything with a meat essence at Fogo de Chão.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah. So, you know, a bit of a bummer, dropped her back off at her place. And, you know, I just think for a first weekend together, Hallie, I thought it went great. And
sounds like it was awesome,
right?
Very romantic. I love it that you, as the man in the relationship, the leader, frankly, relationship, that you made the plans. I love it when Lance makes plans, which is never, but when he does, I love it because I want to be swept up in a story. I want to be taken into an event, you know, and not have to do all the planning and figuring out the parking and all that. Now, I have two things, if I might offer you a word basket of encouragement, my friend. Or maybe it's not so much the basket as it is. I just have a few thoughts or questions. One, or an idea, actually, suggestion, which I am not want to do, you know, to give a man suggestions. But have you ever thought, maybe she can't eat meat, but she could eat a goat or a sheep? Because I have trouble, and I get a little gassy, frankly, if I have cow cheese that comes from a cow. But guess what? I can have cow that comes from a sheep or... How do I say that? I can have cheese that comes from a cow. I can have, oh dear, I think I might.
Sheep cheese is okay.
Yes.
Goat cheese is okay.
Yes.
Cow cheese is not okay.
So try feeding her an actual goat or sheep.
Well, they have all that at Fogo de Chão, Hallie, actually. You can have goat, lamb, various forms of antelope, I think. There were also several, I think it's the only place in the United States that you can have certain types of dog. But I do think... you know, the problem wasn't even an allergy as much as it's mental. She just doesn't like it. And she gets all emotional and stuff.
Yep.
And then the bloating and the kind of blowing up a face and all that all comes because she's actually crying so hard and hyperventilating and doing that own thing. But guess what, Hallie? I did see this as a God thing. Because if there was something that I was really tempted by, it's that big P, purity P. Because when you're in a relationship like this, Hallie, it's new. You're just like, you want to put your hands all over each other. Mm-hmm. And so we're at dinner and I'm going, I think I might kiss this lady after dinner if I'm not careful. You know what I mean? Like, that was like, I could feel a desire and of like a kissing desire. But then after dinner, she is just crying and her face is so swollen that I'm going, thank you, Jesus. There's no way I'm kissing that face. So I think this was all sort of a God thing.
That is so fascinating to me, Gray. And we're not going to ever let Malady, your girlfriend Malady, meet one of my daughters. She has started, when she doesn't like something, she holds her breath till she passes out. And she genuinely passes out. And Lance was looking it up online. How are you supposed to wake someone up safely when they pass out? And I said, I know how to do it. You throw freezing cold ice water on her. I go to the refrigerator. I fill up a pitcher of ice and cold water. And I just come dump it on her face where she's passed out.
Oh, which daughter is this, Hallie?
The one with the broken nose.
What?
But don't let Malady find that out, because it's a manipulative thing that you can do if you figure it out. All you have to do is hold your breath and lock your knees, I think. And then if you wait long enough, you pass right out.
Oh.
And this is what she does to protest, you know, going to church, going to vacation Bible school, anything she doesn't want to do, doing her devotions. She'd rather hold her breath and pass right out. So don't let Malady know that, because next thing you know, you say no, Disney, and Malady is face down on all fours, stiff as a board.
Well, she wasn't on all fours because of the because of not going to Disney, I can tell you that.
Well, I meant flat on your face. But
speaking
of Disney, Gray, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know where personally, morally, spiritually, and Christ-centeredly, I fall on the Disney thing, because I'm just really having trouble wrapping my head around the direction they're going in, because I have spent my entire life, Gray, knowing that Disney is the safe one. You can put your kids in front of a Disney movie, except for that one weird drug one that Mickey was in that was so frightening.
Oh, Tugboat Willie?
Yes.
Yes.
That one where it just seems to be these psychedelic images and a whale turns into a flying thing. And it seems like, you know, Mickey has taken a hit of acid or whatever it's called that they used to do in the, you know, before we had to start the war on drugs. But any hooters.
Just to your point, Hallie, is like all these amazing films and they're just trying to change them. And I'm going, no, you know, just to be woke, and I'm going, you can't change the Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid wasn't black. Look at the original. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, mermaids, you just have to look at,
look at a mermaid.
You can't change that. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. My son Day was in a fight about the new Lord of the Rings because people were talking about, everyone in Middle Earth was white or whatever. And Day keeps being like, what are you talking about? Elves being white. Like elves are fictitious.
No, read the books.
I
mean, I wouldn't because it's so nerdy, but.
The book is always better than the movie. Let's be honest, Gray. I mean, and that's what I always said about that beautiful Jim Caviezel movie, Passion of the Christ, which of course I loved because it is required of us. But I don't like violence. You know, I don't like the sound of a sword going into a human body and bones breaking and, you know, stakes going through the center of a human palm, you know, lashing and whipping, a cat of nine tails ripping flesh off a human back. It's not my favorite thing. You know, I'd really do like an HGTV. But that was my line I always said, Gray, was when people said, have you seen The Passion of the Christ or whatnot? I always said, I like the book better.
That is great, Hallie. What a good idea. And what was the book? I didn't know there was a book.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a screenplay made by that really upright guy who said, every man lives, not every man dies. That guy.
Oh, Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just being honest with you, and hold me accountable for this. Be my accountability buddy, Gray, on the Disney thing, because I'm not there yet, and I'm going to have to pray about it. I'm going to have to petition my Lord of Heavenly Father about what to do about the Disney thing, because I still feel like I categorize Disney in my mind as a safe place for Christians, you know? And the fact that, you know, the governor of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, he's the one leading the way going, hey, you know what, Disney? You're living in my state.
Right.
You're going to follow the rules of the good book.
That's right.
And they're like, no, we want to be gay or whatever Disney's saying.
I don't know what they're thinking, Hallie. I heard, and I think I read this on Twitter, and I believe it, which is that they're going to try to make Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh no! Don't say it.
Into a guy.
What?
And I'm going, okay, that's not going to work.
Well, that's what they just did with the Queen of England. They made it a guy now. And I think that's better because the whole country can be like, well, now there's a fella in charge.
That's right. I mean, I didn't even know there could be male queens. But I do think that it is important for Christians to stand up and say, we're not going to do this. Because honestly, Beauty and the Beast is like one of my favorite movies. And I'm like, if you've got, okay, what it's going to be like, there goes the beggar with his tray, like always, the same old bread and roast to sell. Every morning it's the same since the morning that we came to this poor provincial town. Good morning, Dell? Like, what's his name? You can't even, like, what's it going to be?
Good point. Maybe it could be Mel.
Mel Gibson. Right.
He is a good guy.
Anyway, long story short, I had an amazing weekend. I think Malady did too, and it was still going strong. And I think that was such a great way for me to leave the tour for a few days, go and hang out with her. And I can't wait to see what's next.
Well, next up on the mega tour is Chicago, Nashville, and New York.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have a Christmas show in LA. And oh, it pains me and it grieves the heart to God, because LA is a wicked place, but we're going to go there and be
well,
a light
West Hollywood
in the darkness.
Isn't actually. West Hollywood seems pretty good, so I'm going to be going back there.
It is so cool that God has created a little, what would you call it, an enclave?
That's right.
Of goodness and righteousness, right?
Totally.
Amidst the wickedness of Los Angeles here. If you go to West Hollywood, you got protein shake bars rather than booze bars.
Well, and it's where Mosaic is, which is an amazing church. I just love it, led by a really, dynamic pastor, Gavin McInnes.
That's awesome.
So anyway, Hallie, what were you up to this week? How were you doing life, and how are we doing life together?
Oh, so many God things popping up in my life this week, Gray. And I wanted to tell you, I've mentioned before that I'm a preacher's kid, so that's, no surprise.
Really? I didn't know that, Hallie.
Oh yeah, I've mentioned it before.
Oh, I guess I wasn't listening.
Well, in your defense, you only don't listen when people talk. And I just wanted to say that as a preacher's kid, there are certain challenges because, you're sort of living your life under somewhat of a spotlight. You're expected to be well-behaved, which for the most part I was. I was a good kid. I was doing my best. I got good grades. I was in church. I was really trying to keep up with appearances, which is the highest value of a family in a church.
Well, appearance is everything, isn't it?
That's right. And managing expectations, which we've now learned from your awesome weekend with Malady, your
That's
girlfriend.
Right.
So I am part of a support group. You've heard of AA.
Right.
Alcoholics Anonymous. They have a cool proximity to the church because they meet in a lot of church basements and narthexes and whatnot.
I know. Always so deep underground.
And even though they're filled up, their meetings can be filled with sometimes people who aren't godly or Christ followers or churchgoers or whatnot, they do have some tenets in AA that, acknowledge God. And I'll take it wherever I can get it.
Okay, totally.
And, but I'm part of a group that's similar. It's PK. Like Alcoholics Anonymous is an AA. They have a symbol.
Yeah.
Ours is a PK, and then it has a little plus sign, like addition,
PK plus.
PK plus is like Alcoholics Anonymous, but where Alcoholics Anonymous are trying to stay anonymous because maybe they don't want to be judged or shamed for their, whatever alcoholism is.
Okay.
Well, for us PK, preacher's kids, we're proud. We want it to be a positive thing. We want to have a support group for preacher's kids to come and have fellowship and community with other like-minded people who understand the pressures of being under the spotlight and all the expectations and all of that, but keeping a positive spin on it. You don't want any of these PKs, deconstructing or thinking critically about it or starting to like look for health and healing and all that. You want to keep a positive spin on what is happening, emotionally, spiritually in the lives of these people who happen to be preacher's kids.
That is awesome. I think that's, and I think PKs, preacher's kids, it gets such a bad rap. I feel like Not you, Hallie. I think you really, you know, living your life out loud. I think a lot of them just complain a lot because, you know, they forget that a preacher's life and a pastor's life is so busy and has so much more responsibility than just being a dad.
Well, case in point, this past weekend at Twin Hills, lead pastor Steve, we hold him in such high regard because he is such a man of God. And he was given this awesome illustration in his message in the main auditorium this weekend. And he was referencing one of his children, his daughter. He has a boy and he has a girl. And he was referencing his daughter. And what appeared to happen in the middle of his message is that he was going to talk about his daughter, and it seemed that he could not remember her name.
Oh, no.
And you know what, Gray? A preacher has so much on their mind. A pastor is the shepherd of the flock.
Yes.
They are carrying a lot. If they blank or, you know, I wouldn't say a senior moment because, you know, Steve he runs 5 miles a day.
Exactly.
He's in good shape and all, but I think it's more of a, you know, the stress of, you know, he's speaking to thousands and thousands of people. He just had what you would call a brain fart. Is that what you call it? What do you say in Australia?
Oh, actually we call it a stroke, but,
So, I think his daughter was, you know, got her feelers hurt about that, which is, you know, understandable in a selfish way. But I went up to her afterwards and I just said, you know what? I think we have a group you would be interested in.
Cool.
And I told her that I'm a PK and I get it because, you know what? Growing up as a preacher's kid, my father was very vocal, Gray, about how Jesus is first. My dad's wife, my mom, is second.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the kids are after that. So I grew up knowing that I was the last priority in my household and that is a healthy thing because it's good and upright for people to put Jesus and the word of God first.
Totally.
As the number one priority. And these pastors and men of God, they have to keep Jesus at the forefront. And it's almost like preachers have two families, if you will. They have the family of the church, you know,
exactly,
where they're shepherding, they're guiding, they're offering. You know, my dad was Christian counseling couples and individuals, and people are coming up. You see the line of folks who want to talk to Steve at the end of every single message.
It's endless.
And, you know, they want him to pray over them. They want to hug him. They want to hear his words of wisdom spoken into their life. And my dad was the same. And so it's almost like these preachers, their first family is the flock.
Well,
the first family is the church that they lead.
And I think that's true, Hallie. You got to remember that someone like Steve, you know, this church has 10,000 members, 600 staff members. That's like having 10,000 children and 600 spouses.
Yep. So if you blank on your biological child's name, understandable.
Get in line. You're 10,001.
Yeah. So that's just something as a preacher's kid that you got to kind of find a positive spin on and accept because, you know, as soon as you accept that, accept your place in the hierarchy of things, the better you are. And one thing I can remember being tough and tricky is that you see your dad hugging people who are crying after the service,
awesome,
offering them words of wisdom, listening to them, communicating,
totally,
shaking his head as if he understands, praying over them, all those things. So in your mind, as his child, you think, oh, so he can do it.
Oh, I see.
He just doesn't do it with me.
Yes.
And sometimes that's hard. But you know what? You just find somebody else who will. Or, you know, what sometimes happens haphazardly is then you end up in a marriage with a person who's very similar to that parent with whatever qualities
that parent had.
And then you have the opportunity, like I do with my husband, Lance Labonte, to try to get his attention and get him to talk to me or listen to me.
Well, you know, Hallie, and I think it's really cool that you can use that, what, you know, some people would call maybe oversight, distance, neglect. And you're actually going into this group and being like, that's a positive thing, actually, right? You're saying, you know, not having that connection with my dad, I realized what? That he had this connection with so many other people, and that's really positive.
So, And would I be so selfish as to say I deserve his love and attention and human kindness more than these lost souls? I mean, these people are coming to church. They need to know the love of God.
That's
if they're only going to get it through my dad, well, that's a sacrifice I guess I have to make. And if I'm looking for love from him, you know what? Maybe I'm looking for love in all the wrong places.
Well, is your dad still doing ministry, Hallie? I never realized that you were a PK.
Well, in a cruel twist of fate, you know, my father was so devoted to his flock and to caring for them and guiding them and, you know, leaving his own family to go in search of the one lost lamb. Very Christ-like of him. You know, you get the haters and the complainers and the people who are going to read into all this stuff. Unfortunately, he had some gal with a, well, how do you say it? A massive chest, if you will. You know, how do you say it? You know, those big, you know, kind of heavy jugs.
Yeah,
what
I
do
don't
you,
even
how
want
do you
to think
say
about it?
Yeah. Those big old, you know, weighty knockers
type of,
you know. Well, anyway, she was there wearing a woman with a weighty chest, like this, if you will. Has no business wearing a tube top. It was summertime, and my dad was praying over her in the you know, receiving line at the end of his message, and just offering her some like counsel, Christian counsel, and some prayer. And her tube top, her chest popped out of her tube top. It fell
what?
Down at the same time he had put his hand on the small of her back.
Well,
just as a gesture of support.
Okay. I mean, you're going to have some support if you've got those to carry
well,
around.
Well, see. And she didn't, speaking of support, didn't have a brassiere on. And it appeared that it was the way his hand was on her back that maybe it caused the tube top to lose. I think it lost its elasticity. You know how sometimes you have a sock that works well for a while and then all of a sudden it's just droopy? I think her tube top just gave out any amount of elasticity. It had had its integrity tested past the point of no return, and the poor top just, I guess it just sort of like disintegrated.
Wow.
Like when your sock
fell all the way to her ankles.
Yes.
Just like a sock.
And then she trips because
it's
got both of her legs now in what seems to be a lacking elasticity vice, and she topples into my father's arms. He falls back from the weight of her bustiness.
Oh, no.
And now she is full frontal on top of him with no top on, and he tries to just wrestle himself out of this, you know, vixen's kind of you know, stumbling block, if I may.
This is horrifying.
And it just was a bad scene. It didn't look good. It looked like he was, you know, rolling around trying to get on top of her while she was restrained. And it was all a terrible misunderstanding. And, you know, we couldn't get her covered up. Somebody was running for, you know, some of the towels we keep backstage, but that's only on baptismal weekends. So luckily, I was wearing a long skirt at the time, so I just was trying to like sit right next to her chest so I could spread my, you know, fabric of my skirt across her for decency's sake. But somebody got a picture and got sent to the paper. This is how it worked back then. It was pre-internet. And so he's been working the grounds crew at a Christian college for the last few years. He likes being outdoors, and his health is good.
I can't believe they published that in a paper, that sort of picture.
Yeah, and that was before I put my skirt over her.
Oh, I am just sick.
I'm Hallie Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Grey Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.